You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
The New Zealand Institute of Architects Gold Medal for 2022 was recently presented to Nicholas and Gary of Stephen Lawson's Architects. Between them, they have 200 completed projects, encompassing 80 bespoke houses and 20-odd multi-residential projects. So far, the Institute has recognised Stephen Lawson with 25 national and 24 regional awards, as well as the New Zealand Architecture Medal, the Supreme Award, and the 2022 John Scott Award for Public Architecture. They were awarded a Category 1 and highly commended at the 2022 World Architecture Festival. So they're no strangers to awards, but the NZIA Gold Medal is a little different. It's the highest individual honour an architect can receive in New Zealand. It honours architects who consistently achieve the highest standards for and with their clients. Gold Medal recipients make an outstanding contribution to the practice of architecture, which is demonstrated through a consistently high quality body of work over a period of time. This week, for various artists, I caught up with Nicholas and Gary to hear about their creative partnership, their work over the years, and their hope for the future of architecture in Aotearoa. Well, it's great to have you on the line this morning. First of all, congratulations on the gold medal. It's a huge achievement. It's the first time in a long time that it's been jointly awarded. Could we start off by you telling me how the creative partnership between both of you began?
I've just got to recall. Okay, back in 2020, no, I'm going to start that again. Back in 2002, we formed the practice. Originally, Gary had come to work for me, and we started working collaboratively on some projects in the office, and we just really enjoyed the process, and we started hatching plans, and we thought, well, we would like to get involved in more public architecture, as well as the houses that we were doing. And it seemed just a natural fit. It happened very organically, and I put it to Gary that we form a partnership, and we did that in 2002. And the rest is history. It's, you know, gone incredibly well over the last 20 years. And we've built from a practice that did primarily bespoke houses into a practice that does a lot of public architecture, a lot of multi-residential architecture that could be like townhouses or even apartment buildings, and most recently the Auckland City Mission building of Home Ground.
I'm really interested to touch on that later. We'll get to talking about Home Ground. But can you describe to me how your working relationship functions in the office? Do you work on every project together, or is it one of you is resourced on each? How does that work?
We start each project working together, and we collaborate on the design ideas. It starts with a conversation often. Then we start some rough drawings and some rough models, and we are both inputting into that. And then as the project progresses, you know, it's not totally practical to have two people on everything, so we often sort of take a lead on the project as it's being developed in construction drawings and construction itself.
Do you both see things in similar ways, or is there something particular that you each bring to the practice? Maybe I'll let Gary answer that one.
No, we're very different people, and we have very different, I guess, obsessions or interests. But what there is a big piece of overlap between our thinking. So there's a middle ground which we know when we work hard to meet. You know, so both of us are happy with the middle ground. We found that point where we both feel our interests and kind of obsessions are being met in the design response, then we know that the work will go on to be successful, be good. And so the difficulty with the process is that we've learned, you know, we need to keep working until we're both happy. If someone is not feeling the magic or feeling particularly comfortable, we have to continue to, you know, converse or test ideas or keep working the design until we reach that point. And that's been a strength of the partnership, that we both accept and acknowledge that's where the magic lies, in that kind of commonality, in that sense that we both feel satisfied.
And I could add to that a little bit that I think part of the success has been that we do tend to push each other a bit. So, you know, we don't want to, you don't get a chance to rest on your laurels too much because we're both sort of thinking, well, this could be a bit better, or what if we did this?
Yes.
So it's, you know, it's quite a dynamic process. It's quite an organic process. We don't take a particular role each. Each project is different. But it kind of works, and in a sense, we don't analyse it too much because it does work.
You touched on before your beginnings in bespoke houses and residential projects. Can we start by talking about some of those projects? What is it about working with a client on a bespoke residential project that you enjoy the most?
It's a very personal process because clients come to us and we're really let into their lives, and they might be a couple or a family often, and we learn everything about their lives, and then we try to craft a response, only like a design response, from what is very specific about their needs and about their particular site. So, you know, the idea of the bespoke is that it really is tailored very much to the individual client and the individual site.
It's an interesting journey with every one of our clients, because often, you know, the resources that go into making a bespoke house, it'll be, you know, a lot of money, often the most money that someone will spend on a site that will have a personal meaning to them, and they feel a obligation to do a good job, as we do, and then working together to kind of unlock the magic, both in the way that the design will shift their lives and allow their lives to be well lived, but also to honour the sites and to, you know, to honour, I guess, the environment, to catch the sun in the right way, to put it back into the wind and to be livable and magical. So it's a good journey. And you know, the reality is we're in each other's lives for a good 2 to 3 years whilst the building is designed and then constructed. And so the chemistry with the client is important. We aim to make the journey enjoyable and fun. It's a big endeavour, but fundamentally architecture is a positive thing to do. It's future-focused, it's creating something from nothing, and so that positivity we try to have alive at all times in the project, and generally that means, you know, it's a really enjoyable experience with our clients.
In the piece that the NZIA put out on your work, they wrote about how your work shows great sensitivity to how people live and how they experience and move through the world. And obviously there must be a big difference between designing a bespoke house for a family or a couple compared to some of the big commercial projects that you've worked on, which are engaging with entirely different communities. Can we move now to talk about Homeground, which is a huge piece of work that you've done? It's the supportive housing project you designed for the Auckland City Mission, Te Tapu Yatawhai. It won the John Scott Award for Public Architecture last year. Could you explain for listeners what Homeground is?
Homeground is a visionary social housing and social services project with the Auckland City Mission, and it's an extraordinary project in that it's the most comprehensive of its type in the world in terms of not only having housing but medical facilities, detox facilities, and a lot of wraparound, a lot of social service wraparound, a lot of educational wraparound. And to have all of this on one site is really world-leading. So it's an extraordinary project on every level. And, of course, it is making the lives of the most vulnerable people in our city and in our country better. So it's about transformation. You know, this really is about transformation. It's about healing. It's sort of one of a kind, and, you know, it probably shouldn't be one of a kind, but it is, you know, an exemplar project of its type.
And what's more, is it's given us an opportunity to show leadership in the industry in building New Zealand's tallest structural timber building. And the reasons for that are that, you know, it's growing in New Zealand, the timber. It's a timber, you know, it's a technology from, it's local. It's massively reduced carbon footprint compared to a concrete or steel equivalent, and it shows that the very best and you know, cutting-edge architecture should be available to those who, to everyone, actually, to everyone. And the fact that the mission were committed to building and building that environmentally was high-achieving, I think is visionary, and it shows great leadership on their behalf as well.
Yes, yeah, and a commitment to, I guess, democratise architecture and allow those communities the dignity of experiencing an architecturally designed space, which we know completely changes the experience of living and being in a space. Does this feel like the most important work that's come out of your practice?
Yes, I think it is. You know, we've been involved in some really interesting projects and some important projects, but in terms of social impact, in terms of urbanism, in terms of humanity, yes, I you know, it's hard to say you could have a more important project as an architect.
I understand you had to really dig into a partnership with Te Ao Māori in this project. What did that look like, working in that space collaboratively?
Well, it's a very exciting process, really. We partnered with Ngāti Whātua, Orake, and they are key stakeholders in this building. And I guess it's good to remember that about 70% of the clientele of the Auckland City Mission are either Māori or Pacifica. So, you know, it really has a strong importance to, you know, to Māoridom. We collaborated in particular with an artist, Graham Tepene, who is an extraordinary man, and in a very much a sort of an idea of partnership. And we tried to really embed principles of Māori design right into the building. We didn't want it to be tokenistic. So it was about a really strong relationship. And, you know, the building is so much richer for it. There's so many more layers of meaning. You know, it's been a wonderful experience.
The practice is not a stranger to awards, but what does winning the NZIA gold medal mean to you?
It's a surprising thing to happen, because in many ways we are just head down focusing on the work that we have and the opportunities that come along. Architecture is a really tough profession, and it's very busy, and so you aim to do your best with every project. And I guess after 20 years for this acknowledgement to come along, and you kind of look up and it's caused us to look back over our work and well, wow, we have achieved a lot. And to have that recognition from within the industry, from our peer group, is humbling. It's an incredible thing, really. And what's more, we feel that we have heaps left to offer. There's a lot of time left to do better and better work, to keep agitating for architecture's place in the community, and it has a major role to play in lives well lived and in the, you know, the challenges we face environmentally. And so we feel that hopefully it becomes a springboard for the practice to push further and to keep, you know, doing what we think is really good, meaningful work.
In that kind of retrospective space of looking back over the past 20 years, how would you describe your understanding of the architect's role in cities, I guess, from when you began to what you understand your job to be now?
Well, I think that we need to show leadership, you know, true leadership in terms of how do we tackle big issues with the environment with regards to destruction of the environment, what we leave behind. Do we choose to build or reuse existing building stock? How do we truly collaborate with Māori and to honour the treaty? And I think in that question and answering that question, being very open to collaborative working models, we have the opportunity to create a particularly unique type of architecture in Aotearoa, New Zealand, and I think that's the exciting. And then that should flow through to our cities being and feeling and looking a bit different than other cities in the world. We have that opportunity to collaborate to make a real unique sense of place in the world. And that to me is emerging the whole time, and it's something that seems to be developing and being embraced a lot at the moment, and I really hope that that continues, because I think New Zealand needs to establish a design language of its own, and certainly buildings that reflect a unique place in the world.
Well, we look forward to seeing what you do next and how you take that forward into shaping our city. That was Nicholas Stevens and Gary Lawson of Stevens Lawson Architects talking with me about their recent NZIA Gold Medal Award. Thank you to both of them for coming on the show. If you do have any thoughts or feedback on that piece, Tuku Pātuhi Mai, you can text us on 5395 or give us a call on 309 3879.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.